Chapter 20. Investigations are continuing into the assassination of President Sal Solo, but we have reason to believe that this outrage was the work of Alliance agents. This will not weaken our resolve to maintain Corellia's independent military deterrent. Following an agreement among all parties, Corellia will now be governed by a coalition of the Democratic Alliance and the Corellian Liberal Front, which represent the largest bloc of representatives, with an advisory role for the Centerpoint Party. Statement from the new coalition administration of Corellia. Leia stood between Myrta Gev and Boba Fett. Myrta fell back against the wall hard, as if she'd been thrown against it. Leia stood over her, but the girl just stared past her at Fett, defiant but pinned down by the Force. The air stank with the ozonic smell of a discharged blaster. Fett had his EE-3 trained on Myrta, but Han noticed that it was slowly lowering to his side.
"I want to know what that was all about," Leia said, as if Myrta were just a naughty kid who hadn't done her homework, rather than a bounty hunter who'd tried to take a shot at Boba Fett.
Myrta's eyes brimmed. Han hadn't thought of her as the crying kind. Maybe it was a very big bounty she'd just lost.
"I was delivering him to her."
She indicated Fett with a contemptuous jerk of her chin.
"She wanted to kill him for certain this time."
Fett didn't say a word. He slung his blaster rifle over his shoulder with a slow, deliberate movement, and stood the way he often did, hands a little away from his sides, weight on one foot, as if he was going to whip out one of his astonishing array of weapons.
"But why shoot him? Now that she can't pay you, what's he—"
"He ran out on his wife and baby, that's why. Yes, the great Boba Fett didn't have the guts to stand by his family. He left her, and she had to bring up Aelin on her own, and she died because he wasn't there being a proper husband and father. If she couldn't kill him—"
"Then I will."
Leia crouched over her. Tears were streaming down the kid's face now, and Fett was absolutely still.
"Why? What has he ever done to you?"
Myrta gulped in air, choking back sobs. Han resisted the urge to play dad and comfort her.
"Because she was my mother, and I promised her that he'd die, that's why. So he's my grandfather, in name anyway."
She rounded on him, scrambling to her feet.
"You didn't know that, did you? You didn't know because you didn't care. You never even tried to find out what happened to Aelin until now, and it's too criffing late for us all. 50 years. 50 years!
Han would remember this for years to come, and still not believe it. Fett's shoulders heaved visibly, as if he was taking a deep breath. He still said nothing. It was a lousy way to be reunited with family. Han almost felt sorry for him. Myrta stood staring into the mask of his helmet, as if she could see the man behind it. Then she punched both fists into his chest plate as hard as she could, face contorted with grief and rage, and knocked him back a couple of paces. He just took it. She punched as hard as she could, and Fett let her until Han saw that her knuckles were bleeding, and he decided she'd had enough. He grabbed her shoulders and pulled her back. Fett still hadn't said a word.
"Hey, come on, come on!"
Han held Myrta until she stopped struggling. "It's okay, kid, it's okay. Take it easy." Her mother was dead. Okay, she was a contract killer, but that wasn't the girl's fault. He caught Leia's eye and could see that she was horrified. Whatever Jason had said that he hadn't heard had upset her. Maybe the detail was too graphic to share.
"Fad, don't you have anything to say to this kid? She's your family."
"He's not,"
Myrta snarled. Fett simply turned to Han. His voice was as flat and unemotional as ever.
"I want Aelin back. I want her body."
"Leave that to me," said Leia. "We'll sort it out."
Han couldn't take it in. He'd had some bizarre days in his life, but this was getting near the top of the scale. Sweetheart, you're placating Boba Fett.
His daughter just died.
He didn't even know her. Han, she was sent to kill us. You forgot that small detail?
Han, you remember when Anakin died?
The reminder of his son's death stopped him in his tracks for a moment. The pain was as fresh as ever. But we loved Anakin. We raised him. Fett didn't even... Leia held up her hand for silence.
Don't, Han. Nobody knows what Fett feels or doesn't feel. And neither of us would be standing here now if he hadn't saved us from the Yuuzhan Vong. Okay?
Leia's compassion always humbled Han, but he felt she was wasting it on Fett. She had a point, but she was being way too kind to a man who'd nearly killed him more than once. But Fett had kept his word. Thrakken was dead, even if the girl had probably fired the fatal shot, and there were no more contracts out on the Solo family, as far as Fett knew, anyway. Han patted Myrta's back. She was shaking now. He felt sorry for her, not Fett.
You two better sort yourselves out. Fast.
He's all you've got, Myrta,
Leia said quietly.
Trust me, however bad things are, your family is all you have in the end.
Don't get too cocky about your diplomatic skills, honey, thought Han. Myrta might have been tear-streaked, but she also looked murderous. She'd killed one man tonight, and she didn't look like she'd have any trouble making it two. Han thought it was high time he and Leia worried about their own skins. Could they live on Corellia openly now? He picked up his comlink to call Der Gedgen, but stopped as Fett suddenly took off his armor plates, chest and back, and dumped them on the chair. He held his arms at his sides.
"Pick up your blaster, Myrta Genv," he said.
Leia moved as if to stop her.
"No, let her do it."
And the kid did. She bent down and took the blaster in both hands and held it level, right hand grasping the grip, left cupped beneath to steady the shot, and aimed at Fett. She was deadly calm now. Fett reached up slowly and lifted off his helmet. He was gray and scarred and hard. It was the first time Han had ever seen his enemy's face. It was far less than he had imagined, and all the more shocking for that. It was a face that was as unfeeling as a slab of rock. They said your life was etched in your face over time, and Fett's life must have been utterly cold, brutal, and alone.
"Go on," said Fett. He was staring straight at his granddaughter. "Do it."
"Stang, she's going to—"
Myrta wasn't crying now.
"I said do it."
She held her aim for a count of five, and then lowered the blaster. Han wondered if Leia had given her mind a little gentle influence, but decided not to ask, not just yet. Then she sat down on the battered sofa, blaster on one knee, fingers still tight on the grip. If Han had expected a tearful reconciliation, he had the wrong family. Fett's ice-water blood definitely ran in her veins. Leia watched warily, as if she was expecting Myrta to change her mind. Fett replaced his armor and stood by the window again, watching the police activity in the city beyond, blaster at his side. Leia broke the silence.
"Now everyone's calmed down. I'll talk to Jason again. We'll arrange to recover the body, and then you can leave."
She walked out into the kitchen, and Han followed, wondering if he'd hear blaster fire the second his back was turned. "When did you become Fett's best buddy?" he whispered. "Remember that little vacation I spent encased in carbonite, thanks to him? Okay, so he saved the day when the Vong—"
"Han, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think it's going to be Fett who bears the grudge."
She stared at the comlink as if she dreaded talking to their son again.
"I'm not sure you're even going to believe me."
I'm not a mind reader. What do you know that I don't?
Jason killed Fett's daughter. Personally.
Yeah? Han lowered his voice still further. That's the idea. She was going to kill us.
He killed her while he was interrogating her.
Han had to think about that for a couple of seconds. Jason was more of a stranger with every passing day. He was becoming the Alliance's bully boy, the head of their secret police, although there was nothing very secret about them. But he didn't kill prisoners. He couldn't. Only monsters did that kind of thing. Jason couldn't be a monster. He was his boy, his sweet kid. No.
I think he tortured her, Han.
No.
So you see why we have a problem.
I refuse to believe that.
Do you think I want to believe it? How does anyone accept that their kid turns into something terrible?
It had to be an accident.
I want to believe that, too. Right now I'm just waiting for Fett to ask who actually did it. Because he'll want to know sooner or later. You would. We both would.
He hadn't seen the woman since she was a baby. You think he cares?
I'm going to assume he does. People have feuds within families, but when an outsider gets involved, they tend to gang up. What do you think Fett's going to do? Shake your hand and say, okay, Han, so I handed you over to Jabba the Hutt, and your son tortured my daughter to death, so we're even. You think he'll say that?
Han's brief relief at knowing Thrakken would no longer be around to harass him and his family was rapidly being replaced by the fear that Boba Fett would put him at the top of his vengeance list. Fett had a reputation for never giving up. He never had. Han leaned back against the wall, not sure what scared him most. Having Boba Fett as a real personal enemy, or knowing his son had turned into a killer. He settled for the latter.
Jason?
Leia's voice was all calm reason. Han wondered how she did it, but she was a lot tougher and cooler than he'd ever know how to be.
Jason, I need you to do something for me. It's important.
Chief of State's Office, Senate Building, Coruscant. Well, said Calamus, where does this leave us? Senator Gassell rubbed his forehead with one hand, and Jason watched him carefully. Luke, in turn, watched Jason. He could feel his uncle's focus on him, his suspicion, his dread, his calculation.
There's nothing you can do about it, Uncle Luke. You had your chance. Now we'll do things the Sith way.
This wasn't our doing, Gassell insisted. The intelligence service definitely had no hand in assassinating Sal Solo. That man had so many political enemies that Corellian security will be interviewing suspects until Mustafar turns into a ski resort.
We still have agents in Coronet, though.
Of course we do. But it's still not our handiwork. We wouldn't be so stupid as to hand Corellia a free pass to recruit other planets to its cause.
We're not being believed, Luke said slowly. Olmos looked exhausted.
People believe what they want to believe.
So, who do we have to deal with now? Who's really running the show in this multi-headed beast of a coalition cabinet?
Der Gadget, Jason said.
So Dad really did it. I don't believe it. He killed Thrakken.
And he came to my parents before Sal Solo was killed, with a suggestion that a regime change might be in the cards.
Olmos looked to Luke as if expecting some input.
What does intelligence have to say about him, then? I can just about remember his father in the Human League days.
Don't expect him to disarm any faster than Sal Solo, said Gassell. Forget the assassination, except as an accelerant to finding Corellia more allies. The overall situation hasn't changed.
Where's Neothel got to, by the way?
Jason looked up.
She's on her way. She's being briefed by the commanders.
The blockade was biting. Corellia could feed itself, but for everything manufactured, it relied on its orbiting industrial stations, which were now mostly cut off by Alliance pickets. It was also losing starfighters and ships. Without the repair and refueling
facilities in the orbiting shipyards, which had also been successfully isolated, its fleets were seriously compromised. Jason considered how he would get Aelin Habur's body to Corellium. He could beat a Block 8 alone.
No, it was Aelin Vel.
So you killed Fett's daughter. He has a Mandalorian army that could take on the Yuuzhan Vong. Avoid him for as long as you can.
If Fett were placated, his parents could at least live on Corellia without looking over their shoulders the whole time. He considered explaining to Fett that he hadn't planned to kill Aelin, but Fett probably didn't know exactly who had killed him, and it was better for everyone to leave it that way. There was no point adding more enemies to the list.
He's Mandalorian, remember? Long memories, short fuses.
Are you with us, Jason? Luke asked. Jason jerked back to the here and now, caught unawares for once.
Apologies. Just considering logistics.
The Jedi Council feels that we should open formal talks with the new Corellian government and offer them a way out.
They'll turn it down.
Nothing's lost by offering, said Luke. Do we need Senate agreement to do that?
Technically, Olmos replied. But seeing as over 100 planets have withdrawn their representatives in protest now, I think we can assume that those left wouldn't object if we did.
Luke seemed to be optimistic about the prospects of a breakthrough, even if his expression was grim. Why would Gedgen and his cronies want to remove Thrakken if they didn't want to change a policy?
No better time to remove a rival than under the cover of war, said Jason.
It probably has nothing to do with disarmament, and everything to do with old festering resentments.
Sometimes I'm glad I'm a simple farm boy, said Luke.
And the Alliance isn't formally at war with anyone, Uncle.
Oh, that makes all the difference, then, because a growing number of planets seem to think they're at war with the Alliance.
Olmos interrupted Luke. Gentlemen, if the new Corellian administration refuses to disarm, then we have no choice but to formalize a state of war. That changes the legality of the situation and gives us different laws to deal with matters.
More powers? Luke's voice was almost a whisper.
More emergency powers, said Olmos.
Gasil glanced at Luke with a benign smile that did nothing to conceal from Jason that the senator was thinking, weakling.
I'm not a great student of history, said Luke, but I think we've been here before somehow, before I was born, of course.
Do you have an alternative? Olmos asked. I really would welcome the Jedi Council's views if there's a concrete course I can pursue. But right now I have three broad options. To allow Alliance planets to maintain their own independent defense forces, to continue as we're going, or to mount a much more aggressive campaign to force disarmament. If you have another option, now is the time to put it forward.
Luke shook his head. You know I haven't. But I can't sit here and not express my unease, either.
Jason turned his head and caught Gasil's eye for a fraction of a second, and knew that they were thinking exactly the same thing.
Well, your conscience is clear, Uncle. It's someone else's responsibility now, isn't it?
Olmos stood up and began collecting flimsy sheets from his desk. It was the diplomatic way he indicated to any meeting that the talking was over, and now he was going to do something. Jason wondered if Olmos ever slammed his fist on that beautiful inlaid desk. He doubted it.
I'm going to make a formal approach now to the new Corellian administration, and offer them talks on disarmament, Olmos said. Maybe we'll all get a surprise. Maybe the blockade made them see sense.
Jason genuinely hoped it had. He wanted to see order restored, and he didn't enjoy being despised by his uncle. He turned to Luke to at least take his leave of him courteously, but Luke walked past him with a formal nod of the head and left.
Yes, it hurt. But a lot of things would hurt. Jason accepted it as part of the price he was paying. He opened his comlink and called C-3PO.
3PO?
The droid, at least, always greeted him as if he was pleased to hear from him.
Has R2 finished repairing the Falcon? Tell him to hurry up, then.
I'm flying her back to Dad.